Good morning. In obedience to Christ's instructions given in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, Mark 16, and Luke 24, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, the apostles preached for the very first time the gospel of Christ as a law in force, Acts chapter 2. While all the apostles preached on that first day, according to Acts 2 verse 1, verse 14, and verse 37, only the sermon of Peter is recorded in the New Testament. In that sermon, Peter gave proof that the Jews, to whom he was speaking, had crucified not a mere human being who falsely claimed to be the Messiah, but the very Son of God, the Christ. In closing, what can be termed as the evidential part of his sermon, Peter said, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know it surely, that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you've crucified." Acts 2, verse 36. Peter's sermon convinced the Jews. They came to realize that they were guilty of the terrible sin of crucifying the Christ, the Messiah. Out of that conviction, they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What were they asking? They were asking to be told what they must do in order to have their sins remitted or forgiven. It is clear that, in spite of the fact that, at the time they asked the question, they were already believers in Jesus Christ. They were not yet saved. They were still in their sins. Friends, men are not saved at the point of faith. What did Peter tell them to do? Did he say, "Since you already are believers, you have nothing to do, you're already saved"? No, both Peter and his audience knew that they were not saved. So Peter, guided by the Holy Spirit, told these believers, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2, verse 38. The meaning of Peter's reply to their questions should be easily understood by all. He simply tells these lost believers that they must, number one, repent, and then be baptized so that their sins will be forgiven. In spite of the simplicity of Peter's answer to such a simple question, there are many people now living who reject the truth that penitent believers are to be baptized or immersed in water in order to be saved by the blood of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, Ephesians 1, verse 7. But in order to deny this necessity, they must reject the obvious truth of Acts 2, verse 38. What tactics are used by some in making such a rejection? There are two basic elements of the plan for rejection of the truth of Acts 2, verse 38. Since Acts 2, 38 so obviously teaches the necessity of baptism, if one is to hold and or convince anyone else of the view that the lost man is saved the very moment he believes in Christ as the Son of God, then he must find some means of denying, to his own satisfaction at least, the obvious importance of this passage. So to avoid the force of Acts 2:38, some religious leaders have done two things. Number one, they have come to hold that "unto" in the American Standard and "for" in the King James mean "because of" or "on account of" in Acts 2:38. And number two, to avoid the resulting implication in regard to repentance, they have come to hold that the prepositional phrase "unto the remission of your sins" cannot modify both "repent" and "be baptized." Why have they come to hold these two positions? For these reasons. Number one, if they can prove that "unto" from the Greek "eis" here means "because of," they will have shown that Acts 2:38 does not teach that baptism precedes the remission of sins. And two, holding that "unto the remission of your sins" means "because your sins have already been forgiven," then, unless they can prove that "unto the remission of sins" cannot modify both "repent" and "be baptized," they would have espoused a position which implies that one is saved before and without repenting. In other words, if one holds both, number one, that "unto" means "because of," and two, that "unto the remission of sin" modifies both "repent" and "be baptized," then he would be saying not only that one is to be baptized because he has already been saved, but also that one is to repent because he's already been saved. But even Baptists who oppose the essentiality of baptism so strenuously know that repentance is necessary to salvation. So, since they know that repentance is essential to salvation, Luke 13:3 and Luke 13:5, Jesus says, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31, Paul says that God demands all men everywhere to repent. They make the effort to prove that unto remission of sins cannot modify both verbs. In the remainder of this lesson, we will show that a negative answer should be given to each of the following questions. Number one, does unto mean because of in Acts 2:38? And number two, is it the case that there is a grammatical grounds which absolutely forbid one to hold that unto the remission of your sins can modify both repent and be baptized? The first question, does unto mean because of in Acts 2:38? Sound scholarship answers this question with one voice, no. Unto in Acts 2:38 does not mean because of. When the Apostle Peter told the believers to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ and to the remission of your sins, he was telling them to submit to the rite to obey Christ in being baptized in order to be forgiven of their sins. And it must be noted, the penitent believer is saved when he is baptized, not by the water, but by the blood of Christ, Ephesians 1:7, Acts 20:28, Hebrews 9:22, and Romans 5:8 and 9. But the blood of Christ will not be used by the Lord to forgive the sins of anyone who is not born of water and of the Spirit, John 3, verse 5. Salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 2, verse 10, and one is baptized into Christ, Romans 6, 3 and 5, and Galatians 3, 26 and 27. The second question, can the prepositional phrase unto the remission of sins modify both verbs repent and be baptized? Since the words of Peter were given in answer to the question, what shall we do? The context indicates that the phrase unto the remission of sins not only can, but should be tying both repent and be baptized together. Even outstanding Baptist scholars recognize this truth. In opposing the contention of Methodists that babies should be baptized, J.M. Pendleton said, "It is clear as the sun in heaven that the same persons are commanded to repent and be baptized. Three Reasons for Being a Baptist, page 20. Another Baptist scholar, H.B. Hackett, said, "We connect naturally with both the preceding verbs," in his commentary on the Acts of the Apostles, page 53. J.H. Thayer, outstanding Greek scholar, said, "I accept the rendering of the revised version unto the remission of sins, the ace expressing the end aimed at and secured by the repentance and baptism just previously enjoined." Thomas Warren sent a diagram in English to English scholars and a diagram in Greek to Greek scholars in some of the most prestigious universities of this nation. The diagram indicated that the prepositional phrase, unto the remission of sins, modifies both repent and be baptized. Those scholars were asked if there is any reason, grammatically speaking, why the sins should not be thus diagrammed. Not one scholar gave a negative answer. They all agreed that unto the remission of sins can modify both repent and be baptized. When the people who had become believers in Christ as the Son of God, Acts 2, 22-37, asked, "What shall we do?" they had just been convicted of sin and thus wanted to know what to do to be saved from sin. Peter plainly told them to repent and be baptized unto the remission of sins. Clearly, these lost believers are here commanded to do two things in order to be forgiven. But this truth must be denied by salvation is by faith only advocates, if they are to be consistent with their view of salvation. But it is also clear that in denying that unto the remission of sin can modify both verbs, they deny what clearly is true. The believer is instructed to both repent and be baptized in order to obtain, by the blood of Christ, the remission of sins. One cannot be saved without being baptized in the name of, or by the authority of, Jesus Christ. And one cannot be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ unless he is baptized in order to be saved, not because he thought he was already saved before he was baptized. Obedience to the gospel of Christ will save a lost person, but obedience to a mere human doctrine will not save anyone. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9 says that he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9 says that Jesus will come back taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Not what someone has taught you, but have you obeyed God's word? That's the most important thing, because Jesus says in John 12, 48, "The words that I've spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day." Please be responsible and study God's word and allow it to guide you and not just a man. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.